We're probably already the number one Formula E podcast.
There is actually a Formula E podcast. There's several, actually.
Is there?
Yeah, I don't listen to them.
Well, I don't think anyone does.
You're listening to Into the Runoff, UOI's P1 Motorsport podcast.
Welcome back to Into the Runoff. I'm Ned.
Hi, I'm Megan.
And today we've got... lots has happened in the week since we recorded the last episode. I was thinking we were going to have a two-week hiatus, but Japan has come around a lot quicker than I thought.
Yeah, we kind of did forget that Japan. So this is a bit impromptu.
But before we get to Japan, we have... Much racing has been going on this weekend, as we discussed in the last episode. So we're going to do a little bit of a follow-up on Formula E.
I love Formula E.
I love Formula E.
I love Formula E so much.
We've definitely not just watched the highlights in the other room. Okay, then we're going to have a look at IMSA. We're going to have a look at Verstappen at the Nürburgring, his little weekend away.
Yeah, we're just going to talk through some things that have happened in motorsport. Yeah, there's been a lot happening in motorsport, even if it hasn't been Formula One.
Let's start with Formula E. Now... Nick Cassidy was on pole, but as we found out, and as you've been saying,
qualifying doesn't matter, like,
which is crazy because it's the most exciting qualifying format.
Yeah,
but completely fell away. Didn't even end up finishing in the top 10. It was Antonio Felix da Costa who took the win from 20th position on the grid.
Well, no, he didn't start 20th, but he fell back during the race to 20th and made his way all the way up, which you can do in Formula E. There is so much opportunity. The racing style...
So much opportunity to go and get pit boost.
I do understand pit boost, but I don't know why they used it this race. Because normally they do... When they do a double header, like they're doing three races in China.
But at two circuits.
At two circuits. So one weekend is a double header and the next weekend is just normal. The way of management means you can work your way up. There's so much opportunity to do all sorts of things. Unless your car is awful.
Mitch Evans came in P2, making it a Jaguar 1-2. And Dan Ticktum, our favourite melon, was mugged on the line by Pascal Wehrlein, which means he extends his lead in the championship. And the Jaguars both jump up two positions. And that leaves Montara in second.
Yes. Can Pascal Wehrlein go for a second championship?
And this is what da Costa had to say after the race.
It's a special one for many, many reasons. Obviously, back-to-back wins, that doesn't happen often. A 1-2 for the team, that doesn't happen often. So massive congratulations to all the boys and girls back in the UK providing us with these cars. And it's kind of a home race for me. I have a lot of friends and family here, and a bit of a dream day.
They've been taking a lot of leafs out of the Formula One book with everyone back in the factory. You've always got to sneak that in. I think Lewis started that, and now...
I think he said it at the end of the last race.
Yeah,
what is everyone back
in? Do you know, he nearly forgot to thank the fans in China. Did you see that?
No, that's terrible.
I know. It's always the fight. He goes, thanks, you know, the fans here, they're the best in the world. And he nearly forgot to do it. Which is crazy, because they love him over there. Anyway, we're getting sidetracked.
There's other things that have happened in motorsport. I'm covering that.
Yeah, tell me about IMSA.
Okay, so I watched the 12 Hours of Spring. I did not watch the whole of the 12 Hours of Spring. I would say because I value my time, but I did watch about 8 hours of it. Had a lot of Formula One, I would say fans, say, IMSA, endurance is so much better because they don't have to manage. They do have to manage, and they also have to deal with my favourite rule ever, which is anytime anyone spins, there is a 30 to 40 minute caution period.
30 to 40
30
minutes?
30 to 40 minutes.
So why?
Because the way it works is they have to make sure there's four different classes and they pit by class under a caution period. So if the pit, they don't call it a pit, the garage? Whatever. We're calling it the pits. If the pits are open, they have to pit by class over a series of laps.
Right.
And it takes a little time. But they were, you know, fair enough, if there's a car in the barrier, they also have to repair the barrier, which has happened quite a few times. But they were also doing it for people just spinning. Mm. And then once they call it, they cannot call it off. It's not like they can just unwave they... Because it's not a yellow, it's called a full course yellow.
Full course yellow, yeah.
So basically, with an hour to go, there's a full course yellow.
Oh, disaster. Probably about the 15th one of the day.
It has sort of been known as the 12 hours of full course yellow.
Yeah.
There were quite a few. And every time I was like, this is so boring. So people say endurance are better. It is good. But without the full course yellows bunching everyone back up, it is dull. And with the full course yellows, it is dull. But the other bits, like the last 20 minutes was incredible. If
you
what
is the only bit of racing they did?
No, they did do other races. There were some really good moments. Remember, this is at 2 in the morning, so I'm like, is this worth it? And then this is the lowest class I'm talking about. It's in GTD, which is a pro-am category, as in they have, there's usually a gold rated driver, a bronze driver, and a gentleman driver, essentially.
Okay.
So you have this really fun combination of two decent drivers, and then the third one gets in the car and they fall down to five places.
I love that.
I love that. It was very fun to watch.
So you literally, you must have, by regulation on your team, a bit of dead weight.
Yes, but worse than that, there's a pro category where they're all professional drivers.
Yeah.
But some of the pro-am were catching them up. So the field was quite interchanged, actually.
Okay.
So that's fun. But yeah, by regulation. In fact, that's the traditional way of doing things. It's basically funds the car.
Yeah.
Allegedly, Porsche, it's the only series they do because the balance of power is in their favour, because Mr. Roger Penske, who also, you know, Porsche Penske is the team.
Yeah.
Might own the series and some of the racetracks. He also owns IndyCar and his team cheat in IndyCar. That is a fact. That is a fact. That happened last year. So there's Porsche did very well in IMSA. That was incredibly boring. They won like two or three categories. I can't remember. Dull. No one likes to see it. But there was teammate beef in the top class, in the prototype class, between the Porsche Penske teammates. So I'm sure they'll have to work through that. That was exciting. Again, in the last 20 laps, there was a lot of, well, I would say papaya rules, but their car is not papaya.
Okay.
Think that. A lot of, oh, I'm faster. Oh, my God. Spare me. Cry me a river. But anyway, the most exciting thing I would say was, so Antonio Fuoco, who is known in the endurance world, he's won Le Mans, and he's, like, good enough. He's a Ferrari factory driver. They give him a free practice session in F1 last year, and he was awful. But he gets a little reward. He is very good at endurance. He's in a Ferrari GTD car, so the pro-am category. He decides to punt into someone who is not in the same class as him, his teammate at Le Mans, and punt him into a barrier, essentially.
Oh, dear.
Oh, dear. Ferraris have a reputation for basically being absolute nightmares in IMSA. So that happened. He gets a drive-through penalty. He also got a drive-through penalty for doing the same thing to another person. So that nuked you. With an hour to go, you were not making up 2 minutes of time, essentially.
It's several minutes.
It's horrendous. But then there's a full course yellow.
Everyone bunches up.
But still, he's in eighth. 16 minutes on the clock. And he goes from eighth to first in 16 minutes.
Oh my gosh.
Genuinely incredible. And he's in second until pretty much the last corner of the last lap. And then he absolutely mugs the guy in first.
Like Wehrlein on the line at Formula E, mugging it off.
Genuinely, it was the hypercar, the prototype class had finished, so the Penske drama was there, but all eyes were on this battle right at the back of the field.
Watch this brake zone, though. You know Fuoco's going to give it everything. Wow.
Oh, he's wide. He slips. Fuoco's got alongside. He's got the lead.
Unbelievable. Coming back from three penalties, two of them being drive-throughs. Antonio Fuoco has got himself in the lead. He restarted seventh and leads on this final lap.
Genuinely, I would recommend going and watching it.
Brilliant.
Well, also, my goat, Lila Wado, who is, I mean, she's a woman, but she's also a very good driver, was in that car. So although Antonio Fuoco is a bit of an on-track terrorist, you've got to back it.
You've got to bite the you team, man.
So I'm happy.
MotoGP also happened this weekend. I mean, I wasn't even going to bother covering this.
No,
but
the only reason I put it on the list is because they had a sinkhole in their track, which is an FIA Grade 1 track.
That is embarrassing.
I think it's not only embarrassing, but incredibly unsafe.
Yeah. There was a lot of heavy rain. I was reading an article, and I think that's what created this sudden sinkhole. But you would think at an FIA Grade 1 circuit, they would have adequate drainage.
Yes, that's bad. I really hope it doesn't happen again.
And a few riders, including Marquez, who's the only one I know, have complained about it on safety grounds and things because of bits of tarmac and things going everywhere.
Unfortunately, MotoGP drivers are, if you think Formula 1 drivers have a thirst for adrenaline, MotoGP drivers are another beast. And they do not care, unfortunately. about being unsafe, a lot of them. So I do hope something comes of that. Shall we talk about a certain Dutchman?
Yes. The certain Dutchman was at the Nürburgring.
Which I watched an hour of and then I got bored.
Well,
so
yeah.
For all that say, well, actually, there was some exciting moments, but it isn't that much more interesting than Formula One, in my opinion. Hot take. But that was because, in my opinion, the entire thing was focused on Verstappen, like the commentary and stuff.
Yeah, I know there's been a lot of talk about...
There were 120 cars, which is sick. So there's lots of things happening, but...
But he did do the business. He showed up and he won until...
They got disqualified! No, I can't sound happy about that. It is bad. He won. In fact, his teammates did the winning, so that car was goated in terms of Nürburgring experience, by the look of it. So...
He really got the
A-team
on project.
Was in second. They switched teammates, and then his teammate overtakes the other car, and then it's smooth sailing from there. But after the race, they get disqualified because they had an extra set of tyres.
What? Come on, guys. That's so easy. Just don't use the extra set of tyres.
It's genuinely such an awful mistake. That is a Ferrari mistake.
Yeah.
And it wasn't a Ferrari, it was Mercedes.
Okay, Box Verstappen, we're putting you on Inters. Any other notes from the Nürburgring?
None of interest to the podcast.
Great. Which leaves us with one subject left. It's the big one. This weekend, we're back in Japan for the third race of the Formula One season.
Yes.
Well, fourth if you include the sprint, I guess.
We don't know. No. Third round.
I'm on Stefano Domenicali's payroll. So, how are you? We've got two special liveries coming into the... Or
three.
Three.
Three. Well,
Mercedes,
three so far.
So it's Haas, Racing Bulls and Mercedes. I'm going to be honest, the Haas one, it's a Godzilla themed. It kind of just looks like the normal
I'm not
Haas.
Having Haas. I'm not having... There's a Godzilla on the side of the livery.
Yeah, but it's kind of just a bit of a smudge. I think, like, when it goes by...
I do agree that it looks very similar, but I like that, and they've stuck with the theme. Because the Haas livery is just good. It's a good livery.
Yeah, although there's a lot of white cars this year, and we were begging for a white car before, and now I can't tell who's
But I prefer the Haas livery to the RB, the Racing Bulls. I think their car looks very similar as well.
I'm going to disagree with you. It does look similar.
I think
I prefer the Racing Bull. Because that does look, like at a glance, that looks distinctly different.
They're both white cars with a bit of red on them.
Yeah.
That is going to get confusing. I think the Haas one looks very clean because they've got a massive Godzilla on the side, which is hard to do in an aesthetic way.
Yeah.
And the Haas logo is different. It's got some, like, cracks in it.
And I think the other issue with the Racing Bull is it now looks more Red Bull-y.
It looks like... this is a terrible thing to say. It looks like they've hit...
It does.
A kangaroo. So if anyone saw Bathurst where the bloke hit a kangaroo... But, like, if you hit a groundhog at Montreal, you'd expect that on a...
Yeah.
Or a rabbit at Le Mans.
It does look like a small animal has been through... Actually, quite a
I would say
animal,
a large animal.
A large animal has been through the airbox.
Or has just exploded on top of the car.
Mm.
Like Carrie-style
pig
wing. Entrails.
I like it, though. I think it's cool.
We'll see. I think they look... Special liveries tend to look very different on track. Though, Racing Bulls and Haas always have very good special liveries so far. As
yeah,
last year. So
they do.
It is, like, a very tough competition. The Mercedes front wing, Ned is seeing for the first time here.
Is it just the front wing? Is that it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Are you underwhelmed?
It's just... I don't know. It's just bizarre.
Have you seen the merch?
No, I've not seen the merch.
Oh, it's horrendous. So, for our audio listeners, they've put a wolf's face on the front wing. It's got eyes, and it doesn't look very centred. I'm hoping they'll fix that. And the teeth aren't centred either. Nothing is centred. It almost looks AI-generated wolf kind of imagery, and it's only on the front wing. Okay. They say this is a collaboration with...
Adidas has signed off on this.
No, this is an Adidas collection that they are, it's an Adidas special livery, essentially.
Right. Well, it's an Adidas special front wing, I want to clear up.
Yeah, it's a special front... Which is funny, which I'll get onto a second.
The t-shirt
funny.
Is just giving...
Oh, no, you need to see the balaclava. Find the balaclava.
Oh, no.
Do we think this is a certain Mr. Toto Wolff? Just like an absolute vanity project.
Yeah, for the wolf. Balaclava. Oh my god.
Imagine getting mugged.
Imagine, like, what people would wear to a gaming convention and think they're cool. Like, that's the level. It's like a Timu printed jumper that's, like, lone wolf, alpha male. That's what we're working with.
The fact that this... You can't call it a livery. This livery, in air quotes, is on the front wing is very funny because Ferrari have filed a report to the FIA about Mercedes' front wing because it's doing something against the rules.
Bom, bom, bom.
So the front, because there's active aero, the front wing flaps have to close within a certain time frame.
Yeah.
And Mercedes allegedly are getting around this by closing it in two stages. It's a two-phase wing instead of one. But the regulations state it has to close
in one go.
In one go. And within a specific time frame. We'll see what happens.
That seems pretty open and shut.
Yes. So the closure time has to be less than 400 milliseconds. But they're extending the closure time and therefore getting more aero through the front wing by doing a two-phase thing.
Okay, Suzuka, what happened last year?
It wasn't very interesting.
Wow.
Well, the only thing of note... No, because Max Verstappen got pole and won.
I'm maybe going to be a bit controversial, but I don't think Suzuka's that good a track.
No, but this is why I'm really excited about the new regulations, because all the really dull tracks have hope. There's hope.
And Suzuka's only exciting because it used to be at the end of the season.
Yeah, and Suzuka's a driver's track. No, it's awful for overtaking. There were no overtakes.
Mm.
Like, there was nothing interesting happened apart from Norris decides to be a lawnmower.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Norris.
And Jack Doohan loves to crash at Suzuka. That's the only relevant thing I could think of.
And Jack Doohan went into turn one, DRS wing open. I admire the gusto, you know?
Well, not only did he do that, and then super formula testing, he proceeded to crash three times in that same place.
Good lad, that's what I say.
And he doesn't have a super formula seat for this season.
Oh.
So he's the Haas reserve driver, did you know this?
I didn't know that, actually.
He's the Haas reserve driver, he looks very happy.
He's part of the Haas to plan.
Haas to plan. But it's very funny because, obviously, Oliver Behrmann is on the verge of a race ban. He has 10 penalty points.
Good lad. So, Doohan could be getting the call.
So,
up.
There was a bit of a possibility that if Oliver Behrmann decided to commit various acts of terrorism in China, that we would get Suzuka and Jack Doohan again. But that didn't happen. But Behrmann is still on 10 penalty points, so maybe it'll happen this weekend.
Ooh. How long have we got until they start expiring?
Literally Monaco. For anyone interested, I have the most insane spreadsheet for every data of all kinds of penalties. So, Max Verstappen is an absolute beast around Suzuka. He's won the last four consecutively, and in doing so, he holds the record for the third most consecutive wins at same Grand Prix.
Wow.
He holds us at a few tracks, but it is at Japan. He also has four consecutive pole positions at Suzuka. And last year, Kimi Antonelli set the youngest fastest lap and the youngest race leader records at Suzuka.
Hmm.
And Lewis Hamilton got his first hat-trick in 2007, but that might have been at Fuji.
Bring Fuji back.
You know how we're missing two Grand Prix?
Yeah, Fuji.
They could, the week after, go to Fuji.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
FIA, do your thing.
I know, I don't know if they've got enough time.
No, they're not.
Fuji is still grade one listed though, right?
Yeah. There's no reason they can't go to Fuji. Suzuka, as we were saying, is a driver's track. The drivers love it. But watching it...
Boring.
It's bad for overtakes. So, do we think the new regs will change anything?
Yes.
Ooh.
I think they will.
Will it make qualifying awful though?
Qualifying, I think, might be a bit of a pain around here. Because it's a quick, high-speed track.
I do think... I'm hoping Red Bull have got their act together. For Max Verstappen, I think this might be one of the few chances he has at the minute to get a decent race result.
I think Red Bull will come into their own as they shed a bit of their weight.
Yeah, but Max Verstappen is insane around this track.
I wouldn't even necessarily have Max as a pick for the podium at the minute.
Ooh, I was going to pick him third.
Okay.
Third or fourth. Like, I was going to say quali third, and then his engine explodes. Because he is so good around this track, and his car last year was awful. and he won. Well, he did win some other races. It was like okay at the beginning of the season. It wasn't that bad. I'd say it's worse now. But Hadjar qualified third in Australia.
True, actually. Yeah, true.
So, I think...
It is doable.
Other drivers that do well here. Charles likes a bit of Suzuka. The only thing I would say is George and Lewis, which is why I'm thinking it's down to Mercedes, incredibly mid at Suzuka. Like, they would sort of get P8s, P10s
really?
In the last 4 years. Yeah. It would be not the lowest result. They'd end up in the points, but it wouldn't be like a P5 or a P4. It would be pretty low down in the points.
Okay.
So maybe Mercedes have fixed that, but I think this could be one of Mercedes' weaker tracks.
Yeah, I mean, how does it compare to... it probably is more similar to Australia than it is to Shanghai.
Yeah.
And the gap was arguably bigger between Mercedes and Ferrari in Australia.
Yeah.
But I also just think at this point in the season, we are so in the unknown.
Yes, and there's been 2 weeks and a lot can... Like,
yeah.
We had a doubleheader to start the season, so there's no chance for any development. Not that I think there'll be much development. I think that we will see that in
But their understandings and the setups and things, they'll be developing with those, if not the actual cars themselves.
The drivers get a chance, the sim. Things like that. You know, there's a break.
Yeah.
I think this will be different yet again, which I think is exciting. So, but I have a way that we can make our watching Suzuka less boring.
We do. We are going to play... The namesake of this podcast, Into the Runoff. If we have to guess the who, how, when, and where
is going into the runoff.
So you get 4 points if your driver goes into the runoff. You get 3 points if you guess. So each one is independent, but obviously if you get the exact situation, then you get the full mark.
It can't just be going off track or a little going wide. It is in the runoff. It's the sort of incident that makes you think, oh, God, like the TV cameras cut to it.
Yeah. The TV cameras need to cut to it. And there needs to be some dust at least, you know.
Yeah, and preferably they beach themselves.
Yes.
And it's like, oh, we have to watch.
We should do a bonus points for it gets stuck in there.
Yeah, if you DNF, you get a bonus point, power up, if they get beached. It's a bit like my favourite motorsport series, Formula E.
It is. It's a bit like, yeah.
No. Who is going into the runoff?
So this is my ideal situation.
Ideal?
Maybe. I don't know. Hulkenberg is going into the runoff.
My sister will be very happy with that.
So that's for 4 points if Hulkenberg goes into the runoff. For 3 points, I'm going to say the driver... Well, so ideally Hulkenberg, but I'll take it, is victim to a crazy manoeuvre. So, like a massive dive bomb, or just something way too ambitious.
Okay.
And I'm saying turn two. Between turns two and three, there's a big bit of grass and a little bit of tarmac on the exit of kind of, like, it is one and two, but that first corner.
That's where Doohan went off last
year.
Yes.
Well, no, a bit after where Doohan. Doohan came off turn one. I'm saying, like, kind of on the exit of that corner.
Okay.
When I'm going to say, well, race into a crazy manoeuvre has to be in the race.
Okay.
Okay, who is your who, what, when, and where?
Well, I am thinking Hulkenberg's Audi teammate, Gabriel Bortoletto. I feel like he's had a few offs this season. I don't know. And he was a bit crashy at the end of last season.
Yeah.
My other thought is Kimi Antonelli.
You think? Yeah, to be fair, he's had some runoff. He's not had a runoff free weekend, yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to go Kimi Antonelli.
Okay.
Because you've already covered Audi, so I think we'll give them a break. And I don't think the Mercedes engine would blow up, so I'm going to go driver error.
Where?
Casio. So that's turn 16, 17, 18 section.
Okay. And then when?
Free practice.
Free practice. Okay.
One of us has to watch free practice now.
I think I'll just watch the highlight. I think when Kimi Antonelli goes into the runoff, it'll make the highlight cut.
One will be at 6 a.m, which I will wake up for because I have a 9 a.m. on Friday. That can be what gets me out of bed in the morning. Genuinely.
Nothing like a free practice session to get me out of bed.
Genuinely,
in the
it's so good for my sleep schedule.
All right. Thanks for listening to Into the Runoff. We'll catch up with you probably next week then after Japan.
Yes. We might not be in the studio. In fact, we definitely won't be in the studio.
Bum, bum, bum.
In fact, we're going to have to play Where's Megan? Because I'm not sure where I am.
I'm not sure where I'll be. It depends what point of the week we record.
We will come to you from various locations. Maybe Formula E in Monaco.
Yeah.
Okay, that's actually very funny because I might actually be in Monaco. But bum, bum, bum. I don't think so. But there's a very small non-zero chance
of Formula E in Monaco.
Not Formula E in Monaco. Well, there's that.
All right. Bye.
Bye.